Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Monday live in Los Angeles on a good night's sleep after a great Super Bowl. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, it's a Monday where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. Plenty of both. And Joy Taylor is joining me after a festive week in Miami and as good a five-hour stretch of television, halftime show, pregame, postgame, game, commercials as I've seen in my entire life. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. It was an amazing week in Miami. The shows were great. Everyone did a great job behind the scenes. The sets were amazing. The city was great. And what a game.
I think it was the best commercial Super Bowl I've ever seen.
It was. It was a lot of great commercials.
It was just five,
six. The halftime show was beautiful.
Oh, the whole thing was absolutely glorious. Proud to be a part of the Fox Sports team.
Yes.
Let me start with this. Kansas City is frightening. Not for the other reasons. Like, they won the game, right? But just think about this for a second. This is the way Super Bowls work. San Francisco averaged over a yard per play more than Kansas City. Over a yard per play more. Rushing yards per rush, it was the 49ers. Rushing yards, 49ers. Quarterback hits, San Francisco had more. Red zone, they batted 1,000. You start looking at the stat sheet, you think, oh, San Francisco won the game. They got more consistent pressure on Mahomes than the Chiefs did on Garoppolo. That almost always means you win the Super Bowl. They scored first. That 75% of the time means you win the Super Bowl. They had a 10-point lead in the fourth. That almost always means you win the Super Bowl. Kansas City, for a long stretch, didn't play particularly well. Patrick Mahomes had two ugly interceptions. And Kansas City won by 11 over a football team in San Francisco that bludgeoned, humiliated seven teams, including Aaron Rodgers twice. Folks, even good teams, New England, Baltimore, need to play a certain way. Baltimore's better with Lamar Jackson playing with a lead. New England's not overly dynamic. They have to control the clock. They have to keep big plays away. Kansas City made all sorts of mistakes yesterday and won by 11 over a great team. They were down by 10 at half in every playoff game and won all of them by double digits. That's frightening. That game was played the way San Francisco wanted it to. I told people all week in Miami, I said, San Francisco's going to lead. I just don't know if they're going to lead late because I don't know what to do with Patrick Mahomes. You know, there's always been this term, you know, in sports, oh, she's on the ropes, he's on the ropes, the team's on the ropes. It just doesn't apply to Kansas City. They're never on the ropes. This game was played the way San Francisco wanted. They got a lot of pressure on Mahomes. They forced him into a couple of ugly picks. The score was low. It wasn't a track meet. It was a tug of war. Nick Bosa was unblockable. None of it mattered. None of it mattered. They trailed. I mean, there was the game plan. If I'd have told you this happened and this happened and this happened and Bosa was a monster and Mahomes had two bad picks and they trail by 10 and they're out of rhythm, yet they won by 11. That's frightening. This reminds me of the Warriors. You'd be up by 12. The Splash Brothers get hot. You're down by 7. You're like, we had a perfect game plan. We just had a bad 3.5 minutes. This is unbelievable. There is no on the ropes for this team. And you can copy a lot of teams, but you can't copy the Splash Brothers. You can't copy Stephen Clay. You can't copy that. Sports is all about copying. I mean, the Wildcat was a ridiculous offense. Everybody copied. Right? People copied the run and shoot years ago, the Wildcat. Football is all about copying. You can't copy Mahomes. There is nobody like that. I mean, Aaron Rodgers looks outdated compared to him. And 2 years ago, Aaron was like, oh, the best quarterback talent I've ever seen. He looks old, limited. I mean, it's unbelievable. San Francisco played the game they wanted for 3 quarters and 7 minutes. And they led by 10. And then they lost by 11. Saying that out loud. That is frightening. Now, maybe Kansas City over the next 5 years, loses players to free agency, or maybe in a couple years they pay Mahomes a bunch of money and you can't keep all of them, or there's a key injury, certainly all possible. But football's always been a sport where if you control the clock and win the yards per play and get more pressure on the quarterback and don't make a couple of force the other quarterback into mistakes he doesn't make, and you run the ball with success and you lead late by double digits, you win all the time. And San Francisco got beat by 11. That's scary. Like, that's not the way football works. It's just not the way. All three playoff games, Kansas City's down by double digits, and they win by double digits. We are seeing something here. And again, maybe free agency, Mahomes' big contract, it doesn't work this way. You're down by 24, you beat Houston by 20. You're down by 10 to Tennessee, you win by 11. The Niners are a great football team with a great coach. I'll defend Jimmy Garoppolo later. As Andy Reid said after the game, this group, if it stays together, you want no part of it.
I could have that group right there, man. They're a beautiful bunch. Resilient, tough, tough-minded, dirty, tough-minded, as you saw tonight. So I'm so proud of them.
All right, now let me shift to this. Whoever loses the Super Bowl, the coach is a dummy and the quarterback stinks. It's the way we overreact to big games. So this morning, Kyle Shanahan's taken a lot of heat. Am I supposed to believe he now can't coach? Are we going to hear the same ridiculous negative commentaries on Shanahan that we heard on Andy Reid for years, that he can't win the big game? Yes. He was the offensive coordinator that lost a lead to a guy named Tom Brady. Maybe you watched him. He's pretty good. And yesterday, Patrick Mahomes happened. That's not on Kyle Shanahan. Folks, it's Monday. People overreact. There were two plays in this game that one of them, they didn't get an officiating break. It's a go-either-way play. They didn't get it a break. And the other one, he called the right play, and the quarterback didn't land the punch. So here's the first play in the game that suddenly terrible coach, Kyle Shanahan, who can't win the big one, who chokes late. Here's the first play let's talk about.
Are they able to get anything done here before the break? Garoppolo, sideline. Kittle, what a throw and catch! And a flag flies.
They might get Kittle, Joe. It looked to me like Kittle got a push, and that's what they're indicating right there. And when you extend your arm out, that's what the official sees. That's a good call.
Okay, it's a go-either-way call. I thought it was the right call. With tight ends, that's going to get called. With wide receivers, you can wrestle a guy and they won't call it. But a 249-pound tight end, you push. If the refs, you know, Kyle Rudolph did that in a game recently, you don't get a call. If the ref lets that go, the Niners get 3 points minimum, and look where the ball is. They have a chance. They're going to get one shot at a touchdown, but they'd probably get a field goal. That's points taken off the board. It was a great call. They didn't get the break by the officials. Okay, then let's go to this play later in the game. This is 3rd and 10, deep ball. Good call by Kyle Shanahan. Let's watch this play.
And now 3rd down and 10. Garoppolo airs it out. Sanders downfield is overthrown. Now with 1:33 left, it's 4th and 10.
Okay, that ball's caught. Jimmy G today is the MVP. And we're talking about, God, Kyle Shanahan beat Andy Reid. Andy Reid can't coach. Folks, this game came down to a couple of moments, a couple of plays. A go-either-way pass interference call. I like the call. Twitter imploded. If they give it to him, it's 3. If Jimmy G lands this pass, good call, and it's open. Many quarterbacks would hit that. Jimmy G didn't. Got a different score. You have a different game. Let's not do to Kyle Shanahan what we did to Andy Reid. Blame him for all the losses. Andy Reid took a bunch of C-plus quarterbacks, B-minus for Donovan McNabb, and got them to Super Bowls and got them to conference championships. You know what happened yesterday? Patrick Mahomes happened. Andy Reid happened. It's okay to lose to great. Getting to the Super Bowl, regardless of what anybody tells you, ask Dan Marino, in itself is an unbelievable accomplishment. The NFC is loaded. They had to beat teams multiple times. Garoppolo had to beat Aaron Rodgers twice. Blew him out the first time, had to face him again. Doesn't matter how many pass attempts. Let's not go crazy on this. Big games equal overreaction by fans and the media. Shanahan is the best young coach in football. He doesn't get an officiating break into the first half. Jimmy doesn't softly land that loaf of bread into Emmanuel Sanders. Or we have different discussions today.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, it's funny in this world where everybody thinks they have hot takes. Joy and I always joke, we're often the wet blanket to hot takes. Like this morning, to me, it sounds like a hot take to say that Jimmy Garoppolo stunk. What game are you watching? He had a really ugly interception. Tom Brady's won Super Bowls with a pick six. I've watched every snap Tom Brady's ever thrown. He was terrible against Atlanta in the first half. Jimmy Garoppolo was never terrible yesterday. Garoppolo had a bad pick in the first half. Mahomes had one ugly pick in the third and an ugly pick in the fourth. So think about this. At the end, football games are comprised of two halves. At halftime, Garoppolo had the higher passer rating. He had a touchdown pass. In the first half, his completion percentage, Garoppolo's was better with far fewer weapons. He had more passing yards. I mean, in the first half, Mahomes didn't have a touchdown pass. He only had a pick. Passer rating was 163. So half of the game, Garoppolo was outplaying Mahomes. Then we go to the third quarter, where at one point, Troy Aikman said accurately, Mahomes isn't playing very well. He wasn't. Now, some of that is just the Patrick Mahomes standard. Other part of it was anybody's Super Bowl standard. Mahomes didn't play well for the first three quarters. In fact, after three quarters, Jimmy G had more completions, more yards, a higher completion percentage, more touchdowns, more passing yards per attempt, and a higher passer rating through three quarters. And then Mahomes, you know, did Mahomes. It was not a very good performance by Patrick Mahomes, except, like the Splash Brothers, for about 5 minutes, and then you shake your head and go, this is all-time stuff. But this morning, Jimmy G is now 7-2 in primetime games. In primetime games, Patrick Mahomes is now 500. Nobody thinks Jimmy Garoppolo is Patrick Mahomes. Like, nobody thinks Matt Ryan is Tom Brady. So when Matt Ryan lost to Tom Brady, do I not think he can get to the Super Bowl again? Jared Goff got to a Super Bowl. Matt Ryan got to a Super Bowl. Jimmy Garoppolo got to a Super Bowl. They're all franchise quarterbacks. This is the reality. Because a lot of media companies over the last 20 years of my life have cut back on veteran reporting. There's a lot of young people in the media. Therefore, they didn't watch Tom Brady like I did in his first couple Super Bowls. Go back to Tom Brady's first Super Bowl. It wasn't as good as Garoppolo yesterday. I mean, they were carrying Brady in his first couple Super Bowls. The coaching was carrying him. The defense was carrying him. The Patriots' running game was carrying Tom. And he was winning because he was clutch. And you can certainly criticize Garoppolo yesterday. It's a fair criticism. It's a fair criticism to say Kyle Shanahan got a little conservative, not the end of the world, end of the first half, a little conservative, totally fair. And it's fair to say that Garoppolo missed an open deep ball, the only open deep ball of the game. He missed on it. Maybe Brady does hit that. But let's not go crazy here. Garoppolo outplayed Mahomes for the first three quarters of the game. He's got fewer than 30 starts. He looked a lot better yesterday than the Brady I saw in his first Super Bowl win. And Brady won. He didn't look very good.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He's got three Super Bowl rings. Many believe he's a top 2 to 3 tight end to ever play the position. A multiple-time Pro Bowler and a Hall of Famer inducted 9 years ago. He's our friend Shannon Sharp is now joining us here in The Herd on a Super Bowl Monday. Brought to you by Mercedes, the best or nothing. I'm so glad you stopped by. We get you like twice a year. And today is a Super Bowl Monday, and you've been in these spots and been in these games.
Right.
Let's first start about the negatives. You're hearing a lot. Jimmy G, I did think he missed on a deep ball.
Yes.
And that's a fair criticism. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he played poorly. I didn't.
Well, I think the thing all would have been forgiven, Colin. He had made that throw. You got to make that throw.
Yes.
Those are the moments. That's a signature moment for him. He makes that throw. I thought he got careless. He has to do a better job of taking care of the football. There are 2 to 3 times every game, Colin, that he'll put the ball in harm's way. And it's up to the defense to come down with it. And we saw that yesterday. And every time he puts the ball in really harm's way, they came down with it. I was surprised that they got away with the run so early because they were doing so well with
it. Yeah, that's interesting.
And especially after Kyle had gone through 28-3. They ran the ball what? I didn't go into this game. There's no way I thought that Jimmy G would throw the ball more than they would have rush attempts. I don't think you thought that.
No, Greg Cosell said last week he thought Kansas City would commit to stopping the run, and he did predict. He goes, watch San Francisco throw the ball more than you think. But it is interesting in these games because it's a chess match, Shannon.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I've got 2 weeks,
right,
and Kansas City knows we're not going to bleed to death here.
Right.
We're not going to let you get 7 yards a carry.
Right.
So Kansas City commits to the run. Maybe that's why, because for you, the Kyle Shanahan criticism is bailed on the run.
Right. And the thing is, look, and when you up 20 to 10, and you have two possessions, eight touches, and five of them are pass, you're not running the ball to bleed the clock. You're running the ball because that's the best way for you to get first downs. That's your offense. Now, Patrick Mahomes, that's a different story. They're built to throw the football. They have the best quarterback in football. So them falling behind is nothing to them. Everybody can't fall behind like that because everybody doesn't have a quarterback like Mahomes to throw the ball, say, 35, 40 times in a half and win the ball game. But they can. The question is that when you play playoff games, Colin, momentum swings.
Yes.
How much separation can you put between your team when you have the momentum? The 49ers will only get 10. And then Mahomes got the momentum. They get 21. They win the ball game.
Let's talk about Mahomes. Troy Aikman said it during late third quarter. He said, Patrick's not playing particularly well.
No, he wasn't.
It's the classic Warriors. You outplay him. 4 minutes later, you look up. You led by 10. You trail by 7.
Right.
It's a track meet. Mm-hmm. And for most of the game, Shannon, the Niners, it wasn't a track meet.
No.
It was a wrestling match.
Right.
It really – but – could I argue that Damian Williams, some are arguing today he should be MVP, the running back?
No, because he didn't run you back in the game. It was that his 38-yard run iced the game, but it was Patrick Mahomes. His legs early, those first downs, he showed you in the earlier two playoff games, he led the team in rushing, 53 yards in both games, crucial first downs, a big touchdown. Early in that ball game, he's diving for first downs. He took some big shots yesterday, Colin, and I think – I'm not so sure he takes those shots if it's not the Super Bowl. But he knows, man, I got 5 to 6 months to heal up. I'm good. You throw caution against the wind, and you do everything you can to keep drives alive. That big play to Tyreek, there's not a whole lot of quarterbacks that can throw the ball 45 yards off their back foot with a 6'7 guy hanging on them.
No. Is this the one right here?
No, he
obviously is. He's a huge – I mean, there's a – like right
one.
There.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, look at that.
That's – everybody can't do that, Colin. The thing that makes him so unique, there are very few guys. We've seen guys that can roll out the pocket. They can pull up and make throws. But he can wrong foot throws rolling out of the pocket. He can wrong foot throws and throw the ball over your head. The arm angles in which he can drop down and throw the ball from any plane. I was surprised that the 49ers let him get so much outside because he's most dangerous outside because he can make all the throws, he can run, and he can also throw the ball over your head. And I thought the 49ers did a terrible job of trying to contain him.
Why do we like Andy Reid so much? What is it about Andy Reid? I mean, I've said this before. I've been defending him for 20 years, but it made me so – I've never been happier to be wrong in a Super Bowl pick.
Yeah.
What is it about it?
We love chubby guys. They seem so adorable. I think the thing is because he's had such hardship, and we see him give players that's run afoul somewhere else, he give them opportunity. We saw what he did for Mike Vick, and we've seen what he's done. We saw what he done with some of the other guys, and he was my brother's offensive coordinator in Green Bay.
Oh, he was. Oh, that's right. He was.
He was, and he's just a lovable, down-to-earth guy. And his wife was trying to get some interviews also. But she's like that. She's just a great person. She would at the Pro Bowl, she would come and she would pull up a chair and sit at the bar and start talking. She's great. And is just a great guy. It's just, I've never heard anybody say anything bad. Think about this. Terrell Owens had doesn't have a whole lot to do with a whole lot of head coaches or coordinators. He's never said anything bad about Andy Reid. He says that's his favorite coach.
When you look at Kansas City, you know, I said this, maybe there'll be free agent losses. Maybe Mahomes will make so much. They'll peel off. But everybody manipulates the cap, Shannon, mm-hmm. especially smart people.
Yes.
Brett Veach. Mm-hmm. You know, these smart GMs always right. manipulate it.
Right.
I don't want to overreact, but when you can be outplayed for long stretches mm-hmm. and win by double digits, mm-hmm. it feels like, I mean, if I was a GM watching, like, forget the pocket quarterback. I mean, we have to that's who we have to get through for a decade. That feels like this is lasting a long time.
Look at the guys that were in the divisional round. You had Russ, you had Lamar, you had Mahomes, you had Deshaun Watson. Aaron Rodgers still has some legs. You have Garoppolo. You see where this thing is going. You're playing in space. Athletes on the defensive side are getting more talented. You better come up with a quarterback that can move. The days of just having a stat, the days of the Tom Brady's and Peyton Manning's, where a guy's just standing there or sitting ducks, those are over. The guy's got to be able to move, Colin. The guys are too good, not defensively.
Teams that win Super Bowls almost always come back and they're formidable. Mm-hmm. But teams that lose Super Bowls, about half disappear.
Right.
Now, San Francisco's in a tough division.
Right.
I tend to be a believer in the Shanahan family.
I do. So do I.
So do I. They still have a year or two left on Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. Do you think they're a formidable team going forward?
Absolutely. I believe they'll be fueled by this. You mentioned the Kansas City. The big free agent they have is Chris Jones. I believe they get him signed. The thing that's working for them, that worked for them so far, is that they got Mahomes on a rookie contract. Now, you know that balloon payment. You remember, Colin, when everybody was getting these $30 million homes
right.
playing interest only. And after 5 years, you had a balloon payment. You either play $25 million or you move up out there, you're foreclosed on it. That balloon payment is coming due next year. And it's going to be about $200 million with about $120 million fully guaranteed. And so now, because we saw that with Seattle.
You won't be able to keep Sammy Watkins.
No.
But you can keep
him. At a reduced rate, you can. The $21 million cap hit, absolutely not. If he come back and play for 10, can you play for 10? Can you play for 12?
He's made a lot of money.
Yeah.
So you get into situations mm-hmm. where you go to your receivers. Now, you are a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think Kansas City could go to really good players and say, listen, you're going to get more catches here?
Oh,
you're
gonna, yeah. You same, think about it. What Denver was able to do when they got Peyton Manning. They were able to get a DeMarcus Ware. They were able to get a Aqib Talib. They were able to get
– still a LeBron factor.
Yeah. You was on Ward, T.J. Ward. Guys want to come like, hold on, I'm going to get an opportunity to play on a defense where I know we're going to have the lead. I can just rush. Oh, yeah, you're going to be able to – oh, yes, yes, guys love. And offensively, yes, you want to – if you're a receiver. To play with that guy, the guy has 36 total starts. And he's a Super Bowl MVP and a league MVP after 36 starts. Kurt Warner had a very similar but Kurt was 28. This kid's 24.
As a Hall of Fame football player, I thought it was one of my favorite – forget the commercials, halftime, I loved all of it. I thought it was one of my favorite Super Bowls. I thought there was a lot of clever coaching.
Yes.
I thought the first half was a coaching clinic.
Mm-hmm.
As a former great player, mm-hmm. how did you view the spectacle of it all?
I love it. I love when they have the pageantry. I love that they had the centennial team, the 100 greatest players, the ones that are alive, they're able to come on the field. I like, you know, at the pregame, they have the veterans that were, all of them were 100 years of age. I thought Shakira and J-Lo did an unbelievable job at halftime. I thought us as a network did an unbelievable job. Joe and Troy was at the top of their game. And the game itself, the game was close.
It was tense.
Right. You know what? It was, you know, look, and I'm not trying to take a dig at anybody else's network, Colin. The game last year was boring. 13-3 was boring.
It was. I said to a buddy yesterday, I said, I feel bad for the network that wants to compete with yesterday.
Yes.
The show. I thought the commercials were great.
Unbelievable.
Can we show? I want to show the George Kittle non-pass interference because this is getting a lot of.
Right.
I think you call that against the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm gonna play the sound. I'm okay calling this. You wouldn't call if it's a wide receiver that weighs a buck 90.
Right.
So let's play the play.
Are they able to get anything done here before the break? Garoppolo, sideline. Kittle, what a throw and catch! And a flag flies.
They might get Kittle, Joe. It looked to me like Kittle got a push, and that's what they're indicating right there. And when you extend your arm out, that's what the official sees. That's a good call.
What'd you make of it?
You want consistency. Kyle Rudolph did the very same thing to the DB in New Orleans. He extended his arm, got separation from P.J. Williams. They let the call stand.
Your initial reaction was?
I thought it was a good catch, but then when they replayed it and I saw him, the arm extend and the guy fall back, and he sold it a little bit. He did a great job of selling it. You can't do that. Once the official saw the arm extend and Sorensen freeze temporarily, I knew what it was.
Yeah, it's one of those calls I wouldn't have been outraged.
If they didn't call it.
Yeah, if they said, listen, it's the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm,
right.
Let guys play. By the way, there wasn't a ton of penalties.
They let them play.
There was 9 penalties.
They let them play. I mean, you know, there was a couple. Jimmy G took a helmet to the chin.
Yes.
They let it play. They let them play. And I think, you know, Vinovich, you know, he got a lot of criticism for that call, that non-call in New Orleans. And I think they came and said, look, this is the centennial. We're not going to be a part of this ball game unless it's egregious. We're not calling anything. I mean, he had a couple of false starts and jumping offside, but nothing major. No face mask, no illegal hands to the face.
You could tell early in the game, about late first quarter, I'm watching and I'm thinking, I know there's some holding on this offensive line with Bosa.
Yep.
And they decided not to call
it. They didn't want to be a part of this. They didn't want to be a part of the festivities. This was the centennial anniversary of the NFL, and we're not going to do anything to mess this up. I thought it was a very well officiated game. I thought everything. I mean, being down in Miami was great. You know, having the crowd. You know how it is. I mean, you're like in this. Like, imagine. I mean, like, we should bring people in all the time, Joy, and just have them applaud in studio every day, applauding. But it was great. I thought the NFL did an unbelievable job. I thought Fox did a great, great job of putting on a show.
By the way, the Midwest, not the cool coasts, the Midwest is the home of the Lombardi Trophy. You can say whatever you want. There's something cool about your Green Bays, your Indianapolises, and your Kansas Cities
right.
hosting the trophy. There is something. It feels inclusive in the middle of the country, which, you know, did you notice the commercials yesterday? You notice this? A lot of stuff for farmers.
Yep.
Military veterans.
Yep.
The NFL does a great job to say everybody counts.
Yes, absolutely. I think it was great that the Chiefs won it because it was their owner that named the game the Super Bowl. And so 50 years, and I was listening to, I don't know if it was his wife or maybe his daughter or someone, they were speaking, and they're like, okay, we lost the first one, we won the third one, and we're like, okay, yeah, we'll be back in a couple of years. 50 years. 50 years before you get, I mean, the law, I don't know if it's ever going to be that length of time again between a team winning and winning, you know, winning it for the again.
Shannon, just great having you here, buddy.
Colin, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Joy, good to see you.
I know you
had a great time in Miami.
I did.
I mean, woo. Every time I turn on my timeline, I'm like, well, Joy. Is she, who filling in for Joy on Colin's show today?
No, I was there every morning. Ready
that was
to
good
go.
Stuff.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
All right, here we go. Colin right, Colin wrong. I'm plenty of both, and here we go.
Where Colin was right?
For 20 years, every meathead fan in Philadelphia, not exclusively but mostly, has been telling me Andy Reid's overrated. Can we stop? Folks, he was getting the conference championships with C-plus and B-minus quarterbacks. Andy Reid just didn't have a guy yet. I mean, yesterday against the San Francisco defense that literally humiliated Aaron Rodgers twice. I mean, this defense is... Nobody can block Bosa. Kansas City couldn't block him. Here they were trailing late. I thought it was clever. He was smart. He went toe-to-toe with Shanahan. And then, you know, a lot of it's Patrick Mahomes. But come on, folks, you can't hold coaches and players accountable. Dan Marino didn't win a Super Bowl. Charles Barkley didn't win. Karl Malone didn't win. You can't hold people to, if you don't have titles, you're no good. Try playing against Tiger Woods for a decade, or Michael Jordan for a decade, or Belichick and Brady. Andy Reid has been a great coach for 20 years. Regardless of the outcome here, he is, by the way, he's 24-5 off a bye. The best since Lombardi. I mean, didn't that tell you? If you give him a couple extra days to look at film, he's a nightmare to face.
Where Colin was wrong.
I had the 49ers winning by 8, and I had a shootout. I had 36-28. I thought Kansas City's defense, this is not something people talk about. I thought they tackled really well. San Francisco didn't break a lot of tackles. They kept everything in front of them. They only really gave up one huge play and potentially another. It looked like the tempo I thought I would get, but I thought Kansas City's defense was much better than I had predicted, so I was wrong there.
Where Colin was right?
Kyler Murray won Rookie of the Year. You could certainly argue Josh Jacobs was deserving, but week two of the regular season, I went on the air and I said, folks, you're not going to watch Arizona play. I live out west, I do. This kid's got smoke. Okay, I don't know if he has a coach that can coach. I don't like the offensive line. He's got some older weapons. They're in rebuild mode, and it's the toughest division in football. And he had 20 TDs and 12 picks. And by the way, he started 1 year in college. He's a baseball guy. This kid is a baby who's figuring out how to play quarterback at the highest level. I think he's really talented. Now, he's small, and I worry about him getting whacked. But I watched Russell Wilson run around like this for years. I'm glad somebody besides me watched Arizona football games, because he throws a beautiful football. I mean, it is the tightest spiral. I don't even know what to compare it to. Happy for him.
Where Colin was wrong.
Listen, we all like Mahomes, but I had said in these primetime games, I don't care about his stats. You don't win enough of them. He's 5-6 in primetime games. This is why I like the Niners. I said Jimmy G's 7-1 in these spots, and everybody's, oh, his arm, his stat, blah, 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 blah. Win more games. Brady wins games and plays poorly. I thought Patrick put a stamp on it. He won the MVP. I'm not into awards, and I'm not into stats. But I did think after his second pick, I thought he played really special football. 8 of 13, passer rating over 120. He was big in a big spot. I didn't blame him for his other primetime losses. But I said, you got to win these games. You can't lose to Jared Goff. You got to win these games. And he did.
Where Colin was right.
We say this often, don't settle at quarterback. Chicago, don't try to delude yourself with Trubisky's the key. Minnesota, Kirk Cousins. He may win 12 games next year. Kansas City Chiefs moved off Alex Smith that was getting them to the playoffs. They wouldn't settle. The Ravens moved off Joe Flacco, who was a Super Bowl MVP. They wouldn't settle. If you look at teams, Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray, Tannehill and Marcus Mariota, we're big on this. Stop trying to convince yourself B's or A's. Getting to the playoffs is not good enough. You don't keep your job in the NFL. Dave Wannstedt's a friend of mine. He won playoff games on the road in Miami. The bottom line is too many teams and GMs, because they pick a guy and they don't want to bail on their pick, so they settle at quarterback. Kansas City and Baltimore this year in the AFC could have settled for the guys they had. They didn't. They were aggressive, and it paid off.
Where Colin was wrong.
I thought Baker Mayfield did something last week that I wasn't sure he was capable of. I've watched him 2 years in the NFL. I watched him a couple of years in college be incredibly juvenile. Some of the media experts called it leadership. I thought it was dumb, grabbing your junk, throwing the ball at other players, dissing guys, planting flags, calling out medical staff, juvenile. But he went on several shows last week and showed contrition and real maturity.
Work on my game, work on getting better as a quarterback, as a leader, getting around my guys, whatever happens to our team, our roster, getting around those guys very early on to where we feel like a unified group. And just getting better, like I said, on my own stuff. Not turning the ball over, taking care of that. I can't handle that stuff until season comes around. But I can work on scheme-wise, learning this new playbook with our new staff, and getting into that, diving into it to where when we report in April, it's go time.
He also talked about not responding to media people. Cleveland fans, stop rationalizing juvenile behavior. Grabbing your junk is juvenile. It's dumb. It's not a good look. And he, at the end of that interview, once he got over the X's and O's, talked about, it's on me. I got to worry about me and nobody else. Now, I want to see this in the regular season, but I didn't even think he was capable of getting to that point. Like, I honestly, he's been so rigid and so bullheaded. The fact that he was, the first way to solve a problem is admit you got a problem. And later in that interview, he admitted it.
Where Colin was right.
Listen, Dallas, according to Adam Schefter, is going to franchise tag Dak. Listen, I kind of think it's the right move. I've said this before. you don't pay guys what you think they, quote, deserve, you'll get fired. You pay guys what they earn. Zeke got his money because he's great. And Jalen Smith got his money because you ever seen Jalen Smith play? He's the fastest linebacker in the NFL. Dak did not have a great year with all these young quarterbacks blowing us away. When you look at Dak and you look at the others and consider Dak has the best running back and the best offensive line, a lot of his yards are garbage yards. He doesn't look aesthetically like the thrower, aesthetically as athletic or as fast as other players. This is why the franchise tag was created. I like Dak, but I'm also okay with Ryan Tannehill being franchised and Dak being franchised. And I've said, you got to get out of the deserve business. You got to get into the earn business. And I didn't think Dak had a very good year, despite what the stats say. I thought optically, he looked overwhelmed, and that's with great offensive pieces.
Where Colin was wrong.
Yeah, I spent 30 minutes on that Tom Brady Instagram picture. I kind of whiffed on that one. Shame on you, Tom. I mean, the guy was working me all last week. I thought to myself, okay, he obviously hates Belichick and he's agitated. Instead, it was a Hulu commercial.
Yeah.
I got completely worked on that. You know, I'm usually pretty savvy. Not there. I was like a first-year sportscaster falling for the bait.
Well, in all fairness, everyone kind of fell for it.
I had my CSI team on this. We spent 35 minutes on this stupid Instagram picture. I had, like, my I team, my investigative unit on it, and in the end, I got worked.
It's great marketing by them.
Yeah.
Where Colin was right.
I said last week LeBron James is uniquely qualified to handle the daunting emotional ask now to carry the Lakers franchise. I thought the Lakers and specifically LeBron did a wonderful job on Friday night in what had to be one of the most difficult situations we have ever asked an NBA player to handle, the tragic death of Kobe Bryant, and I thought LeBron was excellent.
I got something written down. You know, they asked me to kind of stay on course or whatever the case may be, but Laker Nation, man, I would be selling y'all short if I read off this shit, so I'm going to go straight from the heart. This is a celebration of the 20 years of the blood, the sweat, the tears, the broken down body, the getting up, the sitting down, the everything, the countless hours, the determination to be as great as he could be. So in the words of Kobe Bryant, Mamba out. But in the words of us, not forgotten. Live on, brother.
I thought it was just unbelievable. That is one of... Does everybody understand how emotional that arena was? I have friends that have been season ticket holders that are... I mean, it's all over the city. It is everywhere. And for LeBron James to stand up in that moment and ad-lib that, as I've said before, he is uniquely qualified to handle that. LeBron didn't have a perfect childhood, and that has built a strong metal. He's had to carry a lot of people. We ask a lot of our athletes for him to stand up in that moment in a tear-soaked arena. I thought he absolutely nailed it.
Where Colin was right.
For the first time ever. Took 4 years. The quarterback face bracket delivered the W. Our quarterback face bracket, I pick the playoffs based solely on how good your quarterback is. Nothing else matters. Your coach, your defense. I just pick teams on quarterbacks. And so my quarterback face bracket picked Patrick Mahomes to win the Super Bowl. And, of course, that ensures I'll be doing the dumbest segment of all time, the quarterback face bracket, for 5 years. I'm the Andy Reid of, you know, for a long time, I was like the Andy Reid of those stupid Super Bowl segments, you know. Like
we're keeping it.
Couldn't
it's
win the
back
big
next
one.
Year?
I won the big one.
Yeah.
So the quarterback face bracket, it has been voted into the egregiously bad radio segment Hall of Fame.